Today's episode of the Dad Tired Podcast is brought to you by Samaritan Ministries. I know so many of you guys are thinking about your family's healthcare needs this year. It's one of the most important decisions you'll make, and that's why I highly encourage you to consider Samaritan Ministries. It's a biblical, affordable way to pay your medical bills, and it has everything you should be looking for in a healthcare sharing ministry. Samaritan members glorify God above all else, and they care for one another through prayer and encouragement. It's a way to align your healthcare with your faith. And through direct member-to-member sharing, you'll always know who you're helping and who's helping you. Here's how it works. There are no networks, so when a medical need arises, you get to choose the healthcare provider that's right for you, and you have a say in the type of treatment that you receive. You then send your medical bills to Samaritan Ministries. They'll notify fellow members to pray for you and to send money directly to you to help you pay for those bills. And then when another member has a medical need arise, you'll do the same for them. When the body of Christ comes together to pray and encourage and provide for one another, burdens are lifted and God is glorified. This applies to all areas of life, including your healthcare. If you want to learn more about this amazing community, you can go to SamaritanMinistries.org/dadtired. If it's the right fit, you can even join today. Again, go to SamaritanMinistries.org/dadtired and you can join today. Bobby, super excited to be hanging out with you today, man. Thanks for being here. You guys have been, you and your team have been just a huge supporter of Dad Tired, encourager of Dad Tired for years now. You help sponsor our retreats every year. You bring guys out to volunteer your skills and your time and your talent. You've just been a big blessing to me personally and to the ministry. So first, I just want to say thank you publicly right off the bat for that, dude. You've been a huge gift to us, but would love for the audience to hear who you are and what you're up to these days.
Yeah. So, man, it's an honor. I'm not just a guy that sees what you're doing and wants to support. Like, I'm in the community. I'm right there with you. I'm trying to figure out this whole dad life too. Yeah. Bobby Cooley. I am adult pastor at Kingsland Baptist Church in Katy, Texas. What that means is I oversee pretty much all of our, anything and everything in our church that has to do with adults. And a big part of that is our men's ministry and looking at calling and what God's called you to do. Over the last couple of years, God has just really pulled my heart towards men, and specifically hurting men and men in crisis and men going through, you know, the struggles. And so I do a part of my role, I do a lot of just kind of one-on-one short-term counseling. That's my master's is in counseling. And so I don't do any professional, it's all pastoral, but I get to sit knee to knee, eye to eye with a lot of men. And it's one of the things that I love about my job. And because we work with adults, our family, our church is so focused on the family that we see adults in our congregation through the lens of parents and grandparents. And so our discipleship, our Bible studies, our classes, our curriculum, everything that we do is geared towards equipping parents and grandparents to be able to take what they get at church and out of the overflow, pour that back in at home. And so it's a lot of fun when you see every adult walk through your church through that lens of like, that's a household. That's kind of our DNA as a church is we want to impact the whole home. We're going to have incredible kids ministry. We're going to have incredible youth ministry and our adult ministry is great, but we're looking at it through the lens of that's a family, that's a home that we want to impact for the gospel. And so I get to do that. And what has happened is, or what's been birthed out of that, started in 2019, right before the pandemic, was we launched a website called empoweredhomes.org. You know, if we're going to say that the church is the B team and parents are the A team, we can't just tell parents, all right, go figure it out. Figure out how to be a discipler. Figure out how to be the primary faith trainer. No, we got to give them resources. And so we created this resource website, Empowered Homes, and it's full of thousands of resources to connect church and home, to give tools in the hands of parents to lead at home. And from there, God has just expanded Empowered Homes into so many spheres and circles and been able to make impacts all over the globe. I got back from Nepal in January, we were speaking to men at a men's conference, and I'm pouring into dads and equipping dads to be the leaders of their household and doing all that stuff. And all of that is supported through our Empowered Homes ministry. And so I don't know my title with Empowered Homes. It just our whole church is a part of Empowered Homes, but I get to kind of drive the bus, if you will, or get to kind of see it go through. And that's, you know, we brought you out to do a dad's parenting class, and that was one of our most successful ones we've done. And getting connected with you, it's just a no-brainer for Empowered Homes to support Dad Tired as much as we can. And, you know, I wish we could do more than what we do with you, but.
Oh, geez. Well, you guys, yeah, you've been super generous, dude. Yeah. And speaking of generosity, like all the resources you guys have are free. Like you just, you have a ton of resources out there, and it's quite literally like free to any mom or dad who wants to go get that.
Everything we have is free. Our pastor, it was kind of his vision back in 2019, because we do so much with families, and he speaks with the D6 kind of group. He's been part of that and has been a part of all those great, incredible churches that are connected with D6. And he came back from an event going, hey, we have all these resources that we have for families. How do we give it away?
Yeah.
And that was the question that he had. He's like, why are we holding on to these? It's just sitting on our hard drive. And so I just kind of spoke up and was like, I got an idea. And he didn't ask anybody. I just kind of jumped in, and that's where we started the website, just to give away all of our stuff for free. It's for our people. But our people, our church knows that there's churches all over the country using our resources, and they're proud about it. They love it.
I love that too, man. I just flew in last night. I was in Grenada with Layla. We went with Samaritan Ministries to see like the back end of all the shoeboxes that churches do all over the world and country to give those away. I was sitting in a church, and this little boy was sitting next to me. He probably was like 9 years old. I was just trying to like be really present with the kids and like see their faces and expressions and just be part of that whole experience of them receiving a shoebox and hearing the gospel and all that stuff. But one boy in particular, like he kept putting his arm, like his hand on my shoulder. And in Grenada, as it is in most of the world, it's just like completely fatherless. Like there's no dads are absent. Grenada is a really small island. There's like 150,000-ish people on the whole island. And so, but most of them, I think it was like 65% of the population is under 35, tons of kids, a lot of kids that don't have any dads around. So anyway, this little boy is like sitting next to me and his hand, he just keeps putting his hand on me. And I'm just trying not to get choked up, because I'm like, all I can think of is him not, like, he's near a man, which as another PS, there's all the ministries happening there are run by amazing women. There are like very little to no men running these ministries. It's women stepping up in the church. So anyway, he's probably not around a lot of men who are just like showing him any kind of attention, positive attention. So he's sitting there with me and he just keeps putting his hand on me, and I'm trying not to get choked up. And I just keep like, everything in me just wants to keep telling him like, I love you. I'm proud of you. Jesus loves you. Like I don't even know his name, quite literally. I just want to keep telling him how proud I am of him. And he's like, you're loved by God, and God knows you, and he delights in you. And part of that stirring in me, one, comes from me not having a dad around, but two, just remembering how when I was a kid, just being lost in identity. Like, I don't know who I am really. And you're just kind of trying to figure out as a boy who you are in the world. And then you grow up to be a man and you try to figure out who you are. And I think where I'm going with that very long like story is, I think we have so many men who don't really know their role, like their identity really in the world. And we didn't have dads, whether your dad was around every day or whether he wasn't around at all. Very few of us had dads speaking identity over us. And so I just kind of want to pick your brain. Like, I know you're working a lot with men. You got a lot of resources for the family, but I know you do a lot of stuff with men. And I heard you say you sit down and you talk through with men who are going through crisis and stuff. Like, how much of that is tied to identity? How much of that are you seeing in your own world?
Yeah. You know, if I'm sitting across, I try not to have a mental model of what that man's going through. I try to be clean slate, but identity and wounding are two things that I'm trying to listen for. Anytime they start talking about, you know, something that happened with their dad or their mom or some type of wounding that they're carrying, that wounding is then dictating their actions or their words or how they're responding to things. And most of the time that's tied to a false sense of identity or looking for their identity in something other than what we should all be getting our identity from, and that's the Lord. And, you know, Eldridge, he calls it the question. the question on the heart of every man is we're always constantly every single day asking this question, do I have what it takes?
Yeah.
Like, am I worthy? Can I accomplish whatever is in front of me? And we ask that question in so many ways. And sometimes we find the easy answers to that. You know, if I can be successful here, or if I can look good at work, and there's nothing wrong with doing great work and being successful. But if everybody around you sees that as, oh, that's how they see themselves, that like, if you stripped away that job, who's that man? And that goes back to the identity and speaking identity into them. And, you know, I know you grew up without a dad, and I grew up with, that's a whole nother podcast for my childhood, but just a ton of abuse from my dad, from my mom, my stepdad, my
stepdad. Can you give us like the short version?
Yeah. So growing up, parents divorced when I was 2, and both of them struggled with substance abuse. My mom was drugs and different stuff. My dad was primarily alcohol. And I mean, he married different women. My mom married different men. And so I was, my whole childhood was surrounded by chaos. And my stepdad physically beat me. He picked on me. And I went through so much stuff, which I'm still dealing and wrestling with even to this day, of like, you know, that abuse and the verbal abuse from my own father. But even for my dad, you know, I don't know which one's better, to have a dad that's not there or have a dad in your life that doesn't want you is communicating to you, I don't want you, I don't know what to do with you, and or leaving me for days to fend for myself as a third grader. I knew how to order pizza as a kid. I had money that he would leave in the drawer of his desk that because I'd order pizza. And so for me and my childhood, like that question is constantly showing itself up in little things. You know, I didn't have a dad who wanted me. And so I'm constantly looking towards others going, hey, do you want me? You know, I'm not saying it out loud, but my actions and how I'm working and, hey, if I do this thing and I get a little bit of praise, then, oh, that feels good because I never got that. And, oh, they want me. And I think I look for those woundings in men, and it can always pinpoint back to their identity of that they're searching for validation and approval from other things. It could be video games. It could be, I mean, so many different things. And a lot of times it's even your own spouse. Like I get my worth and validation from my wife, and there's nothing wrong with wanting or needing that respect or that value from them. If that's the only place that I'm getting any source of strength, I'm leading out of weakness.
Yeah.
Because if I go to my father, who is just tickled by me, who loves me, who's proud of me, and if I go to my father in heaven and I receive that strength, then I get to lead in freedom. Mm. I get to lead in healing. I get to lead in grace. But when I'm constantly going to other things, it's going to let me down. And sometimes it lasts a while, but it's always going to end. It's always going to let you down. When I sit knee to knee with guys, I'm constantly just trying to help them find the answer to their question. Do you have what it takes? Yes. Let me tell you who is saying these things to you. You are chosen. You are his handiwork. You are well made. You are set apart, like just speaking truth and identity into these guys. And I do it to my kids all the time. Even getting out of the car today, dropping off my son at school, I said, hey, Charlie, who are you, man? He gets out of the car. I'm a son of the King. Like, that's who you are, man. You don't have to earn anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to get first chair in band. Like, you are a son of the King, and that's enough, dude. And live in that. And, it's definitely, identity and all that is all tied to me and my childhood too. And that's part of it.
I appreciate you sharing that, dude. I really appreciate it. I don't think I knew that part of your story, man. That's
I was in high school. You know, I didn't become a believer till my senior year of high school. And man, I was an idiot, clown, did all kinds of crazy stuff. And, you know, going through all of those things and abuse, and I'm trying to like, okay, God, help me put meaning to this.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching as a kid, you remember TGIF, like the old Friday night lineup on, you got Boy Meets World, and you got, and I'm watching all these families. I've heard you say this too. I'm watching all these families and I'm going, why don't I have that?
Right.
You know, like, God, where were you in all of that growing up? And looking at my life now and what I get to be that for my kids now that I wish I had. I get to be the dad that I longed for growing up. And that's what drives me. And that's what drives Empowered Homes. That's helping see everything that we have is like, man, we get to be something that we wish we had.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing, but not in my strength. It's not about what I can do because I'm a mess. I mess up all the time. But my identity, when I am secure in knowing who I am in Christ, then I get to lead in so much more strength than the weak stuff that the world gives us.
Yeah. It's interesting that what you said about, you know, I don't know what's worse, to have not have a dad around or have one that is around that doesn't want you. You know, that's a heavy thought. I remember one time, dude, I was speaking and I don't remember where it was, but I said something like, I asked the guys, how many of your dads stuck around when you growing up, or how many of your dads bailed? I can't remember what the question was. I think it was, how many of your dads bailed? And nobody lifted their hand. I was like, oh, I must have phrased that wrong. You know, I'm like, how many of your guys' dads were not there when you were growing up? And nobody raised their hand. I'm like, okay, you're saying every guy in this room, all of your dads stuck around? And they all were like, yeah. I was somewhere deep. I was in the South somewhere. And I was like, I started crying for out of nowhere. Like it pricked a wound or emotion. I didn't plan on it pricking. Like it was like a switch just got flipped. I just started crying because I was like, that's intense. I've never been in a room full of guys whose dads never bailed. But then they all came up to me afterward. Not all, but a lot of guys came up to me afterwards and was like, dude, my dad was around, but it was terrible. Like he didn't leave because it was like culturally, you don't divorce your wife or whatever. But it was terrible. He was like a drunk, or he was abusive. He was verbally abusive, physically abusive. Like, I wish he would have left. And it was a really interesting perspective. And that was the first time I started asking myself, like, I asked that same question that you asked, like, I wonder what's worse. And not that we need to compare what's worse or not, you know, it doesn't really matter. But I guess I had never really considered that perspective, to have a dad around that's like, that is just terrible to you. It's almost like that could do worse damage. My heart was so heavy for those guys. Have you seen that? I'm going through this John Tyson's Primal Path, rite of passage stuff for boys because my son's about to turn 13. Yeah. So I'm going through that stuff just as a dad trying to take my own son through it. He gives you homework to go through, and one of the homework challenges that he gives you is to watch this documentary called The Work. Have you seen that? The Work.
No.
Bro.
The Work.
Okay. It's so for
check
everyone.
It out.
Yeah, dude. For everybody that's listening, The Work. It's like, it's super intense. So it's a documentary that where they take these guys from El Dorado Hills, I think it's our Folsom Prison in California. It's a high security prison. And I guess once a year at the prison, they do group counseling as these prisoners. And these are like, they're all serving like life sentences.
They've done some stuff.
These are some bad dudes. But once a year, dude, they open up this group counseling session. It's a 4-day group counseling session to men in the public. And I don't know how you get picked or how you apply to go to this thing. But guys, normal, everyday citizens, I guess, apply. They don't give a lot of background, but can go be part of these 4-day group counseling sessions with these prisoners. Dude, it's as intense as it sounds like. It is so crazy to watch these prisoners go through this counseling, 4-day group counseling, to do it alongside of these citizens, the citizens to do it. But the reason it was part of the homework is because every one of the problems, like they're all going back, all of them rooted back to the dad. It's not even a dad documentary, but all of it goes back to the dad.
That wounding from your father, I mean, it can spur on a lifelong just striving for what you didn't receive from him, or what you did get from him that you're trying to battle, you know? Yeah. That wounding, if I can talk with the man and kind of pinpoint and hear some stuff as he's talking, that's where I can usually kind of put my thumb a little bit onto that wounding to really open up the conversation, open up in his eyes. I've had guys that I'm sitting across from and they're talking about different stuff. And it comes back down to maybe one of the guys in particular that he wouldn't mind me sharing his story. He's shared it before, but it's kind of the old, my dad never said he was proud of me. I never heard, "Hey, I'm proud of you." And after a few times of us talking and going through, I started the conversation. I said, "Hey, man, can I just tell you, I'm so stinking proud of you." And he wept. And I said, "I'm not God, but can I speak for him? He is so proud of you and what you're doing and how you're living, how you're raising your kids, and you're trying to be the best dad." And he's just weeping. I was like, "Receive that from your father.
Wow.
Live that strength.
Yeah.
Don't strive to get it from the world. Receive that from him. And out of the overflow,
right,
pour that into everyone else." And so it all goes back to the wound, man. And I try not to be the therapist, you know, totally, where I'm trying to trick them, but I can usually, like if I hear those things, those common themes, it usually goes back to that wounding.
Do you ever think that in your experience of working with guys, do you ever think that sometimes I've noticed that guys who had dads around, like good dad, legitimately good, they were engaged dads. They stuck around. They tried their best. Sometimes I've met guys where I feel like they still have a father wound, but they don't even want to like go there because their dad was a quote unquote good dad. He wasn't verbally abusive. He wasn't physically abusive. He did all the things he was supposed to do. But there's still, I guess another way of saying that is like, I wonder if I asked that guy, what were you missing from your dad? Like, what did you need from your dad that you didn't get? Even, and it's not disrespecting him. He was still a great father. You honor him. But like, what did you still need? Yeah. Sometimes I wonder if they've never asked that question because their dad was a good dad.
Yeah. And I've had that same situation happen where it was like, my dad was incredible. He was always there. He was present and loving and caring. And I finally had a guy, he had a breakthrough. He goes, my wound wasn't from something that I wish my dad did. It was something that he did too much of. And I was like, "That's confusing. What do you mean?" He goes, "My dad never let me fail. He never let me do things on my own. He always did it for me." And so now I'm an adult and I don't know how to function. And my dad was so great, and it sounds terrible, but my dad was so great that he never gave opportunities for me to fall on my face. He always had the safety net. He always was there to pick up the pieces. He was always there. And so for that man, his breakthrough was like, I've got to figure out who I am without my dad constantly stepping in and filling the gaps when I'm filling. Yeah, it was super interesting.
Wow.
And
just going back to that documentary, The Work, and just like how much us, I imagine it's for all kids, but that father-son dynamic, especially like you as a man with your dad, there's just something so profound there. I don't know why God wired it that way, why when he created the order of things that it would be that way.
Yeah, all the research shows like most everybody, men, boys and girls, they associate God with how they view their father. That like all the research that you could find is our first glimpse of understanding who God is by the father that raised us. And so you have, you know, people in church who have church hurt and, or they're afraid to go to church or they're disassociating from God is because like they are associating the things that the shortcomings of their father to who God is. And so I'm constantly having to help reframe of like, no, our Father in heaven is nowhere near your earthly father.
Yeah.
Even if your other earthly father was incredible.
Right.
Your Father in heaven, and he wants to father you, which is a whole nother phrase that has come up the last couple of years of like, how do I allow God to father me and receive that from him? And
have you read that book? Have you read that Fathered by God book?
Yeah. It's powerful.
That was so powerful. I have a vivid memory of mowing my lawn and just like weeping. I had like stopped the lawnmower as I had my headphones on. listening to it on audiobook, and it just wrecked me.
I read that, and then I got a little bit of a story if I could tell you.
Hit me, yeah.
It wrecked me. So I've already told you, you know, my wounding is not feeling like people want me because my dad was verbally like told me he didn't want me. So my oldest son shot his first deer a couple years ago, and the
we
dad's
have to remind
listening.
Everyone you're in Texas, bro. It's just like
I'm in Texas. Yeah, we hunt a lot here, and so down in Texas, anybody want to come hunting?
Dude, real quick, before you get into the story, which I'm very excited to get, was it you that showed me like the best brisket I've ever had in my life? When
probably.
Was that with you?
When you were
do
down
you
here?
Do you have a brisket spot that you're like, this is the best brisket?
Oh, yeah. We have a spot
every time
here.
I have brisket, I'm like, dude, I had the best brisket in Texas. Yeah, And then
that
I'm
was
like,
me.
Okay, yeah. I knew it was you. Okay, anyway, Texas, here we go.
Texas. So my son shot his first deer. I think he was like... just turned 9, and he shot some hogs, and we've been working, and it had been years of building up to this moment where he's able to pull the trigger by himself. It's just kind of a rite of passage, especially down here in Texas. Yeah. It's a big deal because we're not killing Bambi. Like, we're eating this animal, and it's he gets to say, I'm providing for my family with this
so
food.
Cool.
And so anyways, he shoots the deer, and that's a whole nother story. It's so cool how he shot that morning and completely missed a deer, and just it was devastating for him. And then the afternoon on the hunt, we saw the deer, and he looks at me. He's like, Dad, I'm going to miss again. And I'm like, buddy, you can do this. I believe in you. You got this. Pulls the gun up, drops the deer. Awesome. So we're getting everything packed up and ready, and you know those moments where you're just reliving the story in your mind? And I was just so proud of this kid. Mm. Like, that's my son. Mm. Like, I was just kind of oohing and awing about, that's my boy. He shot his first deer. And I was just, anyways, I had to drive home that night, and I had to be back the next morning for church. And it's like a 6-hour drive. And he tried to hang with me. He fell asleep in the car, and I'm sitting in the car, and as we're going, the radio's off, he's asleep, I'm still reliving. I'm just on high of like, I'm so proud of that kid. And man, I just read Fathered by God, and God just, not audibly, but I could feel his presence in that car. He just said, hey, Bobby, all the things that you feel towards your son, that's the way I see you, man. Wow. You're proud of him. I'm proud of you. And I wept for about an hour just receiving, thank you, God. Mm. Like, my dad didn't want me, but you want me. My dad never told me he was proud of me, but you are proud of me.
Yeah.
And I receive those things from you. And man, that story, I've told that story even with my son around.
Yeah.
And he doesn't remember any of that stuff, but like, that's a story that he gets to hold on to too.
Yeah.
Like, not just his first deer, but man, God did so much more that evening to remind me of who I was. I'm his son. And we forget that so quickly though.
Oh, dude.
You know?
Hey guys, hope you're enjoying this episode so far. Just want to remind you, you've probably heard us talk about this a few times in this episode, but we do have our Dad's Hired annual retreat coming up in September. We're expecting about 300 to 400 guys come to this retreat in North Carolina. We would love to have you be one of those guys. Spots are filling up quickly, and we don't want you to miss it. If you go to dadtired.com, click the annual retreat tab, you can get signed up today. Let's jump back in. And you have that moment, and it's so like the whole heart of Dad's Hired is you have moments like that where you're reminded of the gospel truth that you are delighted instead of God pouring out his wrath on you. If you were a son of his, he's poured out his grace and his love, which is just insane. But you have moments like that where you kind of feel it, you experience it, and you just, how do you, like, I bet you went home and the next day you were a better husband. You're a better dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you're a better friend. Because your identity, again, is just rooted in something that nothing in the world can offer. It's so much deeper.
Yeah, 100%. You know, when I'm reminded, I want to be for my kids what I wish I had, and I want to live out of the strength of my Heavenly Father, man, I don't want to go to the park and throw the baseball with the kids, but man, I get to do this for them. It's, when I'm reminded of my identity, it forces me to get up, to do the, I'm tired from my first shift or my real work. Now my second shift's kicking in and I've got to give everything I have to them. Yeah. And especially by, you know, my wife, you know, when I am not seeking her approval and validation, I'm secure in my identity and who God says that I am. I pursue her so much more. I do more things for her. I'm more aware of her. I'm more, you know, I'm not trying to keep score. It's not a, well, I got to do this, so you get to do that. No, I don't care, you know, because I'm secure. I'm not wanting her to fill my tank. My tank's already full.
Yeah.
I just get to overflow into her. And so, man, it all goes back down to being secure and knowing who you are.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think for you guys listening, man, like, I don't know, maybe just, I'm making this up on the spot, but like, maybe just ask yourself, like, what was it that you needed from your dad, whether he was around or he wasn't around, or like, when you just think back at your own childhood, you go back to the little boy version of you, what is it that you needed from your dad? And then I guess maybe the follow-up and more important question would be, what would it look like to receive that from Jesus instead, you know, and to find all the things that you longed for in your Heavenly Father instead of your earthly father, and then just rest. And then you can just like, you can honor your dad regardless of his crap and his own mistakes and his shortcomings. You can see him as being a boy himself, like needing stuff from his dad that he didn't get. And you just like, you don't have to hold grudges. You can offer forgiveness. That's radical. Like, it doesn't even make sense because you're finding everything you need in Christ and not all the things that you wish you had from your dad, you know.
It's so good. And I didn't say this. I always try to say it. You know, a lot of times when we talk about this stuff, it almost sounds like we're blaming, you know.
Yeah.
I'm blaming my dad.
Right.
I'm the way I am because of this or what he did or didn't do. It's not about blaming. There's power when we put meaning to our own stories.
That's right.
And when we could put meaning to our stories, it's talking about the real stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's talking about and being honest, but we're not pointing fingers.
Totally. That's a good caveat.
Yeah.
That's a good caveat. That's clear. Good clarity. Cause in my own story, like so much of who I am and the mistakes I've made, the person I've become is a result of my dad's absence and him not being there, but that's not an excuse. It's now having to just realize that is the story that is written in my life. And it's just been helpful for me to identify, okay, that behavior is tied back to that wound. And where does God need to redeem this? And where has God redeemed it? And where does God still need to redeem that like connection? But for me, it's just that what's most helpful is just seeing the clarity between the behavior or the thinking and the wound. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's really helped my healing.
That's the power of the healing that can come, not when we're accusing or pointing fingers, but we're receiving and putting meaning and letting God fill in the gaps where we don't really understand all the ins and outs, but we trust. Your question, man, so powerful of thinking of that little boy. And I ask that several times when I do counseling of like, okay, let's take it one step further of that little boy. You see that little boy in whatever situation that you're in, that you can recall a moment of neglect or abuse or whatever it is, like in that moment, go back to that moment. And now for me as a 37-year-old man, I have full capability to walk into that moment. What would I do? I would rescue. I would redeem. I'd pull that kid out. I would, whatever it is. And it forces me to remind myself of like, I get to be that for my kids.
That's good.
Now I don't have to, I'm not dreaming or making up this scenario in my mind. Like, no, I get to step in today. When I get home from, my kids get home from school, I get to be that for them.
Yeah.
I get to do that. And God wants me to.
That's good.
And he's given me everything I need to do what I can for my kids. And as hard as that scenario is, to go back and look at that little kid, that little boy, and tell him, man, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, that's great.
You're going to be okay. So anyways.
Well, man, thank you again for hanging out today. Just maybe remind us where we can get all those resources that you mentioned up front with Empowered Homes.
Yeah, empoweredhomes.org is our website. We're on social media. We're on YouTube. We have a podcast, too. You've been on the podcast a few times. I need to get you back on, man, talk about some of the new stuff.
I got nothing.
let's talk through kind of some new things on the horizon that we're excited about. But, yeah, empoweredhomes.org. You can find me there. My email is just bobby@empoweredhomes. And, I give you my cell phone, but you probably don't want me to do that. I don't care. Well, I'm available.
I mean, if you want to give your cell phone out, man, I don't might get it blown up, but I'm sure guys would love to get in touch with you, however you want them to get in touch with you.
Yeah. Shoot me an email, man. I'm available. I love being available. You know, we travel and go to churches. We're booked up this whole spring where we do parenting classes. We do marriage events. We do a bunch of stuff. If that's interesting to anybody listening, I'd love to show you what we do and partner with you. Again, free. It's all free. Yeah. We don't charge. This is about the kingdom. It's not about me. It's not about our ministry. It's about Jesus. And we want to see homes transform with the power of the gospel, however that may be. So
I love it, man. And you'll be back at the Dad Tired Retreat this year?
Yep. I'll be there bringing several guys. And then I think I just talked in our head media guy to come with us so we can do some creative stuff with y'all this year.
I'm stoked.
So, man. Yeah.
All right, bro. Appreciate you so much, man. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah. Hey, guys, as always, I hope that episode was helpful for you on your journey of becoming more like Jesus and helping your family do the same. Again, remember to register for our Dad Tired annual retreat in September. You can do that by going to dadtired.com, click the annual retreat tab, and get signed up today.